Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
We're talking about the David case and Celeste Rivas, her body, of course, being found in the frunk of a Tesla that was connected to singer David Jennifer Coffendaff, a retired FBI special agent with us, breaking all of this down. We were talking about how this appears to have been handled, and we're going back to January 2nd being the date, the last date that there appears to be any evidence of life for Celeste Rivas that's out there. Prior to that, there's security camera footage, there's the door cam, there's all sorts of places where it appears she's showing up here and there, even though missing was her status for quite some time. You were talking about New Year's being a big day for this sort of thing to be happening. I can think of some other cases of Anna Walsh. There was that murder there that was on January 1st. January 1st being a day that this sort of thing, I guess we see more of it. Is that accurate for New Year's?
Yeah, absolutely. You see more things happen. First of all, unfortunately, you see a spike in people taking their lives. Mm-hmm. You see a spike because of the partying and everything involved, gunshots and celebrating that gets out of hand. And so you see a spike there. You see some people who are trying to turn over a whole new leaf, and that means they're starting a different sort of life or taking care of business, whether that means a divorce or whether that means walking away from a relationship or whether that means, unfortunately, in some cases, a murder. So all of that, it's just this time of year that is definitely on law enforcement radar always.
And if we're talking about a cover-up, and this is where I'm starting to wonder about here, is if, because I don't know, it's hard to believe, I mean, that this would have been intentional. He has a thriving career that's he's up and coming. Things are going good. I don't think anybody would necessarily go, hey, let's go kill this girl. This seems like a great idea right now for everybody and we'll get away with it. That's why my gut on this is just keeps telling me like something happened, like accident of some sort took place. Whatever that accident was, or whether it's self-inflicted or not, I don't know. But I'm kind of on that mindset. And if you're young and dumb, and I don't know who would have been around her at that point in time on January 2nd or right around there, whether it was David or his entourage, his friends, whoever it may be. They're not making the best of choices. And she's 15. They already know they have basically a 15-year-old runaway. They are all of age. So they're basically harboring this runaway for all this time who is a minor. And of course, there's all the questions about was there something sexual going on too? And that's all, I think, very much up in the air. I don't think we know the answer to that, other than people were assuming that she was older and that they were in a relationship. Still not a lot of evidence to show that they actually were. Is it something maybe where it's a panic and a cover up because they needed to cover up? They were harboring this 15-year-old runaway and they're thinking, well, that will be worse than the body. And it just keeps covering up to covering up bad behavior after bad behavior with young, dumb people.
It feels pretty plausible. You know, we're living on the generation that I like to run around claiming, you know, being Gen X. We know how to fix things. We know how to take care of our situations because we always had to. I don't know that this generation can do that. And I'm not putting a blanket statement.
Not all of them, but certainly some are not wisest.
No, some, correct. You know, yeah. I mean, they can hit a button on their phone and get food delivered. We couldn't do that. We had to get on our bikes or get, you know, walk to McDonald's to get the food. So maybe they panicked. Maybe something did happen and they had no idea what the hell to do.
Well, we have some new clues now. At least,
what do we have?
If we believe the PI, the PI and his rendition of what he found,
right?
Sadistic, they had plans for her, what they were going to do to her. Now, he makes
alive or dead, though? That's the question.
Well, that is a question. How I interpreted it was alive, how they were.
Okay.
That's how I interpreted what he said, but everybody's free to their own interpretation. But what he talks about, it's, you know, being mind-blowing and just unimaginable, essentially, what their plans were for Celeste. And I think that's a pretty good near quote of what he says. But he also makes it clear that he knows they didn't do those plans, right? And he probably knows that because whatever those plans meant, Celeste would have ended up someplace else. Or Celeste would have ended up with a gunshot wound or whatever it was in the plan that he's not seeing now in the proof that she's dead in the frunk. So I get that it doesn't line up. And he made the point, you know, law enforcement can't arrest somebody for what they plan to do when it's clear they didn't do that. But it also, to me, sheds light on a darkness that I don't think we necessarily knew. The other thing is, Tony, and you and I have talked about this, in a court of law, I agree with you that some of this lyric, you know, the blood, these videos, him dragging a body and throwing it in the trunk, that can't be used possibly in a court of law. It's going to be up to a judge. It's probably too prejudicial. But you know what? That doesn't mean that he was not imitating in his art life what he wanted in his life, especially now that we have a dead Celeste.
This could be the ultimate art project. You know, a lot of people who are really artistic, they take things into the real world. I know a lot of artists who do. So could this be?
I think that's a stretch.
Well, who knows?
What the homicide song, Romantic Homicide?
Romantic Homicide. And
what was I want to know the release date with 2022.
But what if he didn't see her as a real person, if she was his muse?
Well, 2022, he would have known her, at least over internet, would have been.
Yeah. Well, I was curious about the release date of it. Like, was this, because I didn't know if it was created in this last year, because January 2nd is almost a year ago now, if it would have been something within that timeline. So, I mean, Yeah, I mean, it could be a post thing, but it would have been even worse if it would have been like, oh, it came out in July of this year. Oh, it did not. Yeah.
Tony, I want to give you just a little snippet of that lyric. Yeah. In the back of my mind, I killed you and I didn't even regret it. I can't believe I said, but it's true. I hate you. It's just dark.
It is dark. A lot of music is dark, though. A lot of artists are dark. The coincidence, if it is a coincidence, of what the, and not that he's being accused of anything right now, but the fact that his proximity to something this dark and his lyrics match up to very dark concepts certainly does not look good. It does not play well for him. I know, or his crew or his entourage. But again, there's so many people involved in something like this and in a crew like this. It's not usually just the artist that's there by themselves. And that's why I'm it's going to be so key to understand. It looks like the PI is already starting to get into that, of who had possession of the car. You know, did they know what was in the car? What were they doing? What was their relationship? But we're also learning from what you were saying earlier, a lot of social media disappearing and some just kind of behind the scenes things and actions that seem to have taken place that don't necessarily point to a crime per se, but they point to someone not wanting to necessarily be looked at either. Would that be accurate?
Yeah. You know, I wrote a list actually of, to me, the key points that he's done after this that just don't look good.
Yeah.
First of all, he cancels all of his tour dates.
Yeah.
This is a lot of money. This is a lot of you know, time, preparation to get these dates overseas and everything. That is a huge clue to me. Number two, he erases multiple social media posts. That's very concerning. Anything that looked concerning, it's gone. He moves from the house where he was residing and paying $20,000 a month. He breaks that lease. Another very costly decision. Mm-hmm. His complete silence. And I say this because of this. It's not going to hurt him in terms of being looked at as committing a crime if he just simply comes out with a written statement. It can even be from his lawyer that says something to the effect of, you know, Celeste was such a dear friend of mine. I am so, you know, broken up with the loss of her life. Something as simple as that, but it's been complete silence. Then he wasn't at the funeral, which I think we all kind of expected. He retained counsel, which he should have. Everybody should. But I can tell you, so many people that are innocent and know they're innocent and can explain their whereabouts, they don't get counsel because they know they're innocent. They don't want to waste the money. Secondarily, that just happened, he transfers his property to Mama, at least two places in Texas. I just think all of that doesn't bode well for how he's appearing.
No, I mean, it does not bode well for how he's appearing at all. But at the same point, also, I would argue, and I've made some videos about this too, where it is also the movements of someone who is trying to protect themselves if they're being accused of something, even if they didn't do it. You would do these things. You would move property. You because you don't know what is ahead, what possible charges could come at you. Even if you have nothing to do with this, the shitstorm is on the way. Batten down the hatches, whether you invited it in or not. And some of that does seem to make some sort of sense. I do wonder about the tour and all of that. I know the dates were canceled, but obviously it's another thing where the system is involved. There's a lot of people involved in that decision. It's not necessarily just David alone that would be making that call. I would be wondering if there's promoters, you know, the promoter got involved, whoever got involved and said, we're not going to put any more money into this because all this is going on over here. I'd be curious how much of a hand David had in making those choices of canceling the tour, of delaying the album, of doing those sort of things, things that involved the company, that literally the corporation of whatever David is labeled as, and those decisions being made and who was making them and for what reasons. I think that plays a big part in something like this too.
I agree. And I'm glad you're doing devil's advocate because you make a lot of good points. I still say, if I'm David and I have millions upon millions upon millions that are going to be possibly earned, I mean, look at the magnification of his social media songs. Everybody wants to hear them. People that would have never listened to them are. I mean, he's got millions of hits every month that he wouldn't have had, but for all of this blowing up. Can you imagine the concert goers?
Yeah. I mean, he would sell out right now, honestly. I mean, R. Kelly was selling out until he was put behind bars, you know, and literally, and everybody knew what was going on there. I would think it'd be more of a personal type decision. If you had nothing to do with this and you know you're going to be vindicated, keep going and keep making your money. Why stop if you had nothing to do with it? Why do you want this to hold you down? And also, make a statement about it. You know, make something where, you know, you're hurting just as much if you have nothing to do with this. That, I think, would be very powerful. I mean, there's a lot of ways this could be played, depending on what exactly happened. And I'm not saying played in a way of manipulating the system, but if this was an accident, if this was an overdose, if this was a this or a that, I mean, it could be used for awareness. I mean, it could be used for, hey, this is really sad and horrible. My friend died this way. But unfortunately, so many bad decisions seem to have been made right after she died, however that may have been, that there's no way around that anymore. And it's just covering for bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And here we sit.
Well, and don't forget that lyric, you know, at least in his playing it out, he murdered and he didn't regret it. So that to me plays into the psyche, because now we don't have any sign of remorse, not even a sentence that's out to the public.
We don't publicly, but legally, any attorney is going to tell him to shut the F up. And it seems to be listening to whoever attorney he has that would likely be saying that. I mean, as much as we on the outside would want to hear more, as much as his family would probably want to hear more, as much as his fans would want to hear more, it's the silence, the unknown that makes this case really what it is. Because when it's unknown, things can kind of fester and go everywhere. Are you surprised we have not at this point now? I mean, I'm damn near like 2 months into this thing and still we don't have any charges against anybody. Are you surprised we haven't heard anything out of the David camp of any type, of any magnitude?
Well, no, I'm not surprised, only because of the condition of her body. By the way, I wanted to say that very early on, again, back to this very early on reporting, NBC reported that according to the LAPD and that actually, I think it said the sheriff's office, it said the sheriff's office, that this was a homicide. So a lot of people wonder why it was, you know, deemed a homicide initially. And I can tell you that reporting went clear back to NBC and their interview of the sheriff's office. I just wanted to say that. But as of the most recent reporting, LAPD says, listen, we don't have manner of death, which would be accident, suicide, homicide, the like, and we don't have cause of death. They don't have cause of death, Tony, because it's going to take forever for a forensic examiner, an anthropologist, literally an anthropologist, to try to figure out how she died and exactly when she died.
So many questions in this and not a lot of answers as to where all of this goes from here. Let me ask you this one more question. How often do you see it when you have a property owner like this big house renting out? I mean, it's a weird, not probably a super common situation, but were you surprised that he hired a PI? The owner of the house decided to hire a PI. And I'm wondering why he decided to hire a PI. Was it because of the lack of information that he was getting to begin with?
Well, I have that answer for you. First of all, let me go to question one. Is this usual? And it's very unusual. And I'll tell you why it's unusual. First of all, these homeowners just want this to go away from their end of it. And they don't really want a big deal. They don't want all this out in the news. They want to rent that house again. They don't want this to be, you know, out there, especially blown up now that it's become. Second of all, this PI, and I want to give particularly what he said. He said he first started snooping around, right? He was taking pictures. He was getting with neighbors. He was pulling surveillance tape and so forth. So he contacted the owner of the house. The owner of the house, they got into a discussion about the search warrant return and search warrant inventory. And the search warrant, landlord never got that, which is typical because you would serve that, you would leave it there at the home, or you would give it to the renter if he was there. That's mm-hmm. what we're obligated to do as law enforcement.
Yeah.
The PI, I don't think understood that. And he attempted to try to go get a copy for the landlord. Uh-huh. He, of course, was shut down by LAPD and he went back to the landlord, but he did this good deed, if you will, for the landlord. Uh-huh. And then I think at that point he said, listen, I'm sure a conversation took place between the landlord and the PI, obviously, because he was hired. And maybe the PI suggested he get a PI. We don't know for sure, but I'm just going on kind of the order and what he said. So, you know, I understand the landlord maybe wanting to get some answers. I just can't imagine the landlord would want this blasted all over national television as it has been.
What do we know about the cameras in the house, though, too? I know there was some speak of that from the PI this weekend.
Yeah, this was really interesting. He says that, quote unquote, this was a sophisticated surveillance system. Now, he said that you could tell when people came into doors and opened windows and things. I wouldn't call that a sophisticated system, but maybe there was more to it. A sophisticated system to me is multiple cameras that are motion operated that I can remotely look on my phone and actually see what each camera is doing and what's happening. I can control the camera and say, okay, listen, I want it to pan clear over here. I don't know how sophisticated this particular system was, but the PI believes that it was utilized by David. He says that because he says that they covered up the smoke sensor piece of the system. And he says they did that. This is according to the PI. He believes they did that because of what was going on in the house. And he also then speculated that they likely covered up the camera portions to hide what was going on in the house. That's his speculative side. But the side he knows about is the smoke. And I have to say, I agree with him. I think if they were astute enough to cover up the smoke detector side, they might have covered up the camera side.
I don't know. I think they were covering it because they were probably smoking weed. and they didn't want the smoke detectors to go off. I think that may be a very simple explanation. And if the smoke detector is connected to the camera, you're inevitably going to cover the camera simultaneously, not because you're trying to cover necessarily that you're smoking weed on camera, because it is legal there. You just don't want the smoke detectors to go off. That's my guess. I don't know.
I agree with you. And you don't know what else they were smoking. I mean,
or whatever it may be, whatever substance it may be. Yeah.
Substances. And, you know, this is back to your point about kind of dumb people doing dumb things that we see all the time in true crime. By all accounts, there were substances involved.
Sure.
By all accounts. So now you even have less of good judgment, like going on with whatever went on. So you add to it youth, you add to it inexperience, you add to it something heinous that happened to that poor girl. Yeah. And then you put on top of it substances.
Sure. There's a lot of things. Yeah. There's so many things in this case where it's like, just because they look like this might not be exactly what they are. And it's hard because some things just are what they are. And they're just certain. And some, you know, objects in the rearview mirror may not be as close as they appear. I feel like that there's a lot of that in this case, and not necessarily intentional. I think some of it is just youthful stupidity that is mixed in with all these other elements. So many questions here. Jennifer Coffendaffer, as always, thank you for coming on and giving us your insight into this. I know you're following it very closely. Break the Case is her podcast. You can get it wherever you get podcasts. Just search Break the Case, Jennifer Coffendaffer on YouTube, or like I said, wherever you get podcasts. That's going to wrap up this episode. Until next time, for Todd and Stacy and Jen, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.